That second song that Brother Roger led, Poor, Weak, and Worthless Though I Am, context of that song, and then in Brother Royce's prayer, he said, talked about the Almighty God, one that sits so high and looks low. That difference there, poor, weak, and worthless, and then look at that, and yet he does. And so that those phrases and all that I brought to your attention, they go hand in hand really with the thoughts I have on my mind this morning, at least so far. As something pops in, I have nothing this morning in the New Testament on my mind, but there's a lot in the Old Testament. I'm going to begin in 2 Samuel, the book of 2 Samuel. I'm going to get a couple of thoughts out of the fifth chapter, toward the second half of the fifth chapter. David is king now, here. Around the 17th verse, 2 Samuel chapter 5, Philistines heard that Israel had anointed David king over Israel, and they came up to seek David. David heard of it and went down to the hold. So the Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. 19th verse, then I mainly want two verses out of this chapter. It says, David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand." So at this point, at least at this point, he's right on target. Number one, he inquired of the Lord before he went into battle. Just on the surface of this should be us. Before we go into any type of battle, we need to inquire of the Lord. Yes. Any battle.
Yes, sir, brother.
Amen. I should never go into a fleshly battle to battle someone. I don't need to be doing that. But human nature is human nature. I still have the flesh upon me. But at this point, let me move on. He inquired of the Lord, and the Lord told him, "What a way to go into battle. I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand." So we have this here, and he's going to go into battle. I'm going to skip on down here. So he inquired again, 23rd verse, I guess. "And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a, fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry tree." So he'd inquired again, and this, he's got some little bit different instructions here. And let it be when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself. For then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. Now this shows, and this is a little bit different. He told him before, you go up, I'll deliver the Philistines to you. You're going to win that battle. Here, the Lord shall go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. Now then, I know it says in there in 25th verse that David did so as the Lord had commanded. So number one, he did what he told him. He didn't say, "No, I got a better plan here. Just leave the mulberry trees alone over there. I'm going to go right in here and do what I want." No, David did so as the Lord had commanded him. Another lesson for us. We don't think there's anything in the Old Testament for us today. We are sadly mistaken. We are sadly mistaken. And smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come unto Gezer. So he smote them. So David was successful in this. And so he's king now. But he did what was right in the sight of God. He inquired them. By some miraculous event, I have actually been blessed to inquire of the Lord prior to doing something. I've done that. I'll go ahead and say that a few times. Don't ask me to name the time. I can think of it right now of times I've done that. And I felt like the Lord blessed me in those. And I wouldn't even call it, I guess it was a battle maybe within my mind on a decision maybe, whatever it is. You have your own battles. That we struggle with, and we're blessed, and there's been times that it was obviously that God won that battle for me. It's like, I can't even find a mulberry tree. I don't know what I'm doing here. And so God wins the battle. It's like out of nowhere. And then he blessed me to recognize that. So we can move on into the sixth chapter. So here, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. So he's going to bring up the ark of God. I'm going to talk about this ark of the covenant a little bit. We'll talk about that, but I want to stop some of these places here in this sixth chapter and jump to other writings to bring out some points. So they're going to bring up from thence the ark of God. So we'll answer some questions in a minute. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, that was in Gibeah, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. Now, just reading this, if I just open my Bible, flips open to that, I think, okay, so far this is good. I don't know what new cart has to do with this particular situation. I know they burned a lot of the stuff, and they did away with it from what they found in these battles and so forth, and we'll see some of that in a moment, Lord willing. But they set the ark on a new cart, and they brought it out. And we have two of these sons, these two brothers, that they drave the cart. So this is the scene. You can picture this. Verse 4, and they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. So he's in front, and Uzzah is in the rear. That's the picture. We get some details here. I love these. May not ever get anything out of that arrangement. Why not the reverse and so forth? Doesn't matter. Moving along. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and cornets and on cymbals. So everything looks great. They're rejoicing. They are celebrating. They're bringing the ark of the covenant back on a new cart here. Now, let me bring you to this point, okay? Maybe someone doesn't know, well, where is the ark? I thought the ark of the covenant, you know, the temple and so forth, tabernacle and all that, and they're bringing it up here. But I want to go to 1 Chronicles, 13th chapter. 13th chapter. And David does something good here again. We're going to see, and so far what I've read there in 2 Samuel chapter 6, what he is doing, what he's trying to accomplish, King David, that's good. That's good. Bring the ark. Get it. The Philistines had it. We'll hit that in just a minute. God is very demanding. He demands in the service that he defined and set up the perfection in that. So let me continue. So in 1 Chronicles chapter 13, first few verses here. And David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. So he consulted. That's good. That's good there. And the times that, I mean, we have to make judgments, and bring this forward to the church. Now, when I consult, whether it's I consult with the entire congregation on something, there are certain things, yeah, I'm not going to just do something on my own without consulting the congregation, whether it's thousands and hundreds and with every leader and so, or just with the deacons. It's not just so that, oh, if this thing goes sideways on me, oh, I talk to the deacons so I can blame someone. That's not it. We get a consensus. Plus, you know what? Every now and then, there's a deacon that has a good idea. And so, oh, I hadn't even thought about that. You consult. You talk about this stuff here. David consulted. But that's not all. Second verse says, and David said unto all the congregation. See, he consulted. And he tells the whole congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you and that it be of the Lord our God. Here's the two stipulations. Shouldn't we do that today? If it seemed good. Now, the Ark of the Covenant coming back and all that, that's good. That's a good decision. And he's consulted. That's what this is talking about here in 1 Chronicles chapter 13. But if there's something gone awry here, you know, either with the congregation or the Lord, then David's saying, if it seem good unto you and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and the Levites which are in the cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us, and let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. So let us bring the ark again. So those two stipulations, if the Lord be in it and you're agreeable to it, let's do this. And he consulted even before that. That's very wise of King David there. So he's going to bring the ark back. We still don't know, well, where is it? Why isn't it where it always was? And all? We'll see that in a moment here in 1 Samuel. So they're going to bring it back. And so that's where we're at in that scene in 2 Samuel chapter 6 in those verses that I read. They're bringing it back. They've got it. Right now, where I've left you is with the ark on that new cart. And they're bringing it through. Now, let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 4. 1 Samuel, this scenario is in several books, and then we have to go back to see when everything was set up in the first place in a moment. But let's go to the fourth chapter of 1 Samuel. Let's see the history behind this. Let's see what brings us to the point that David is at, and the Israelites. And I'll skip through some of this stuff just to get the points, get it set up in this history here. And the first verse of the fourth chapter, 1 Samuel, the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle. So they went to battle with the Philistines. Mentioned the Philistines before in 2 Samuel. When the people were come into the camp, verse 3, well, I left out just one phrase out of that second verse. Israel was smitten before the Philistines. They were smitten. And they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. Israel, this is not a good time for Israel. They were smitten. And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? They acknowledge, like, Lord did this. Lord at least had a hand in this smiting, the being smitten by the Philistines. They didn't win this battle. What's our solution? And this is this congregation. I don't know if this is who David consulted with, the leaders and so forth, back over there in 1 Chronicles 13, but in the first verse. But here it says, here's the solution that they have. Let us fetch the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. Uh-oh. So it's going to, the Ark of the Covenant. So they, and I know that the Ark of the Covenant, it symbolizes the very presence of God Almighty. It shows that He is the Almighty. And it's the presence of God. And very specific in how it was built and set up, and how it's to be handled. I tell you what, their hope is not in that Ark of the Covenant. Their hope is in God Almighty, the Almighty that comes down there at the mercy seat. Let us fetch the Ark of the Covenant that it might save us out of the hand of our enemies. So they kind of go off to the side here again at this point. Anyway, I don't want to get distracted on this. Now, so they're going to get the Ark of the Covenant. Seventh verse, as I move through quickly. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God has come into the camp. Because they had the Ark of the Covenant. So, as they see it, God is there. They saw that the Ark of the Covenant, and these bunch of idolaters, you know, they have the gods and so forth, the Philistines. But they say, oh, they got the Ark of the Covenant. I guess God is with them. And so it says they were afraid. God has come into the camp. Woe unto us! Who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? It's capital G there, but plural. So they don't know. So, but they're going to see. So then in the 10th verse, hope you're still following. And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, that they fled every man unto his tent. And there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. 30,000. So that number that was over there in 1 Chronicles as well, that's a lot of men. When it says they were smitten here. Well, they went and got the Ark. So then here we are. Here's the verse I need. 11th verse. And the Ark of God was taken. The Philistines took the Ark. That's where it was. You all know this. You all know. I know where he's telling. We don't know where the Ark is in 2 Samuel chapter 6. We know where it is. The Philistines have it. Or had it. At that point, they no longer had it. The Ark of God was taken. And the two sons of Eli. Let me slip through this here. Two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. So Eli's two sons were slain. And we see in a moment that he had judged Israel for 40 years, Eli. But his sons are dead. He doesn't know it. But it says more about Eli real quickly as I move through this. 14th verse, and Eli heard the noise of the crying. He said, what meaneth the noise of this tumult? And the man came in hastily and told Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old. That's old in my book. And his eyes were dim that he could not see. So Eli's not doing well. He's old. He's 98. And the man said unto Eli, I am he that came out of the army, and I fled today out of the army. And he said, what is there done, my son? He asked him. Messenger answered, Israel has fled before the Philistines. So he brought bad news. And there hath been a great slaughter among people. And thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas are dead. Oh, and also, the Ark of God is taken. By the way, the Ark of God is taken. So it's gone. This is bad. This is bad. So then we see how Eli reacted when he made mention of the Ark of God, when this messenger did, that he fell off from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck broke. So he broke his neck and died, for he was an old man and heavy. I always wonder why, and heavy, and period. And then that ends that sentence. He was an old man and heavy. I don't know why. You tell me sometime, why is that in there, that particular detail that he was old and heavy? I don't know. And he had judged Israel 40 years. And then just one more statement here, and I'll move on. The 21st verse, it states, the glory is departed from Israel because the Ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. So this is talking about his daughter-in-law and so forth there. But the glory is departed from Israel. They're in bad shape here. But here we go. The Ark is gone. The Ark of the Covenant. Now, I've got to pick and choose. I would love to go fully into this fifth chapter of 1 Samuel, it's on the next page in my Bible. But they bring the Ark of the Covenant in of one of their gods, Dagon. And this God, he keeps falling over. He just keeps falling over. In fact, to add insult to injury, he fell on his face. I believe it said, falling upon his face to the ground, fourth verse from chapter 5. So Dagon, their God, is not doing so well. Just by bringing the Ark of the Covenant in there, they think, well, so in the seventh verse, and then I'll move along. And when the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, the Ark of the God of Israel shall not abide with us. They got to get rid of this thing. This is terrible. We've got to get rid of this Ark. Well, they took it. They thought, here's the power of God. We've got their God now. They didn't have our God. They didn't have Israel's God. They had the Ark of the Covenant, which is still very important to God. Yeah. It is. We'd see it would continue to be. But God is not going to have it mishandled. This is where his presence is here. Now we have the presence of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer, here with us. And all. We don't have to carry anything around, put anything on our cart and carry it around, or worry about it being taken from us. But we still need to be obedient to God. We still need to be reverent to Him. And because, as Brother Roy said, He is the Almighty. He is the Almighty. Because as I say all the time, I tell you that we see His mercy and His grace and His love toward us. We love Him because He first loved us. There's your New Testament for today. We see that. But we must show reverence to Him in our lives. And in that, we must be reverently and fearfully obedient to Him. Think about all the commandments of God let me think about all the commandments of God that I don't, to which I don't adhere, that I let fall by the wayside. I'm not being obedient to God, but I see Him suffering me. He when His long suffering attribute. So He said, the Ark of the of God of Israel shall not abide with us. So they get rid of it here. This brings us back to 2 Samuel in just a moment. In the seventh verse of the sixth chapter, this one. Now, therefore, make a new cart. Make a new cart. And then it sets up other details that I won't go into there. But that here, so come back to 2 Samuel chapter 6. Now, I'm going to turn back over there. So where we are is Israel has done, it's like, oh, it worked for the Philistines. They got a new cart. Let's get it on a new cart. Because Israel In 2 Samuel chapter 6, they know how to handle the Ark of the Covenant. They know. They've been given those rules. And they're very specific here. So they've got it. They're doing this. The Philistines did. Well, they put it on a new cart. It worked for them. We've got it back now. We're hauling it back here. And so far, they're celebrating. They're playing their instruments. That's where I left you in 2 Samuel chapter 6, fifth verse. So let's move on. Go to this next part here where it's not so good. Sixth verse, 2 Samuel chapter 6. And when they came to Nashon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. So, okay, even right here. I can confess my logical mind. I'm thinking, well, so far, so good. Because here, I would think, oh, well, on the surface, thank goodness Uzzah was at the back of that cart. Obviously, that's where the oxen shook it. And he reached out to stabilize the Ark of the Covenant. Well, that seems like a good thing, doesn't it? And even if he didn't do it just right or something, well, but at least he was there. He caught it. He acted fast and everything. But not so. And continue to think upon God as the Almighty Sovereign God. Just remember that. Remember that. And the anger of the Lord, verse 7, was kindled against Uzzah. The anger of the Lord is kindled against Uzzah. Okay, maybe it wasn't so good that he did what he did. And God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of God. So that ark that he kept from falling off that new cart, Uzzah, now he's laying there on the ground by it, nearby it, because the anger of the Lord was kindled. Now, right now, if you knew nothing else about the Bible, you think, I don't understand that. I don't... God, and did God not love Uzzah or his brother or Eli or any of the or their dad and all? What, why is his anger? He saved the Ark of the Covenant. And we're not the only ones that might have that thought. And David was displeased. Dave, have you ever been displeased with God? I have to say that I have to confess that I have been. There's been personal things in our life that we think, I don't understand this. And then we go even farther that we're displeased, angered. I don't understand this. And that's the key is, well, I don't understand the perfect wrath and anger of God there. But David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. So David even, he done it. But they know. Now, let me go real quick to Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25, and let's solve this. What the problem with Uzzah doing that, and why God killed him, took his life. So this is in Exodus 25, down after the 10th verse. Thou shalt make an ark of shittim wood. Gives the measurements, height, breadth, length, and so forth. 11th verse, and thou shalt overlay it with pure gold. But then down here in the 12th verse, this is what we need. And thou shalt cast four rings of gold for it, and put them in the four corners thereof. So we've got four gold rings. They're going to attach it to the four corners of the Ark of the Covenant. Same one that's just about to fall off that cart, that new cart over there. And two rings shall be in the one side of it, and two rings in the other side of it. So even more repeating in specificity here. That's not all. And thou shalt make staves of shittim wood and overlay them with gold, everything covered in gold, but same wood here. And that type of wood is very strong. It does not rot, doesn't break. It's very strong wood. Thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them, to be carried with them. So now we have a clue at least. Oh, this is how they're supposed to carry these. Numbers chapter 4, and then I'm going to get back and move along. But I've got to set this up because God has just taken the life of someone because he did something wrong. Numbers chapter 4. Verse 15. And I'm just going to get this verse out of this whole chapter here, and we'll get the meaning of it. And when Aaron and his sons have made an end of covering the sanctuary and all the vessels of the sanctuary, as the camp is to set forward, after that the sons of Kohath shall come to bear it. But they shall not touch any holy thing, lest they die. So there's a rule. You go back to 2 Samuel 6 and verse 7 and 8 right in there. But God, what about mercy and love and all that? He demands. Think of him right now then as a father. And you've said, those that have children, you know, you let them slip on that one thing. Oh, that's okay. We'll let this go and all. Well, then the next thing, and the next thing may be of a danger to them. Got to be firm with that. Now, we handle things a lot different from God, but they knew how to handle the Ark of the Covenant here. This beautiful that contained the law of God and so forth, that manna and all that. So, they're going to bear this, but they shall not touch any holy thing lest they die. In the 20th verse, right here, same page in my Bible, this fourth chapter of Numbers, but they shall not go in to see when the holy things are covered, lest they die. And then we have in Numbers chapter 7, verse 9. But unto the sons of Kohath, the same ones I was just talking about, he gave none, because the service of the sanctuary belonging unto them was that they should bear upon their shoulders. They are supposed to carry that Ark of the Covenant with these staves through those gold rings, and they're to bear that. They're to carry it. That's now going back to 2 Samuel chapter 6. I'll stay there for a bit. Israel knew this. They are not obeying God. They saw the result of that. Uzzah touched that ark, and he was not to do that. He'd already said, don't do this, this, and this, lest they die. He said that. He died. That's all there's to it. God is a just God. So we see that here. He demands this obedience, this reverent obedience to him. He does today, because God hasn't changed since this time when Uzzah died, when he took his life. He hasn't changed. But I see his mercy. He teaches me, everyone, you know, different children in a family. We just had the one son. So once we were done with that, that's it. We didn't have to think, well, he's different from our next son or daughter. And some of you have multiple children. You don't handle them exactly the same way because they're different personalities. No, God knows exactly how to handle Israel. My goodness, the Philistines had just killed over 30,000 Israelites there. They were smitten there. So let's move on. So we see why. I hope we see why. And if we think for a moment, well, yeah, but God, that was unfair. That we start down that road. That's not right. then I tell you what, you bring it to the church today. We may have something with it. Well, this is good. Let's do this. And consult, do all the consulting and so forth. And then this is, but it was not, number one, it was not good that they looked at the Ark of the Covenant, that it would save them. And it did not. It did not. God caused the Philistines to win those battles at that point. It changed since the fourth chapter of 2 Samuel when David inquired of God. He didn't inquire of him when he's bringing the ark back. So we do that, and we bring that knowledge and that custom tradition forward, the obedience of God. David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. So then, ninth verse, David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How shall the ark of the Lord come unto me?" He's going, okay, in 1 Chronicles 13, he consulted and all, and if the Lord be in this and the congregation be, let's bring the ark back. I read that. Same scenario here. And if all that, and now he's saying, "How shall the ark of the Lord come to me? If we've just tried and this happened," and he's just stopped everything. This particular work, this project has come to a halt. And so David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David. So it just stopped. Well, sometimes that's what we got to do. It's like, wait, let's just stop. Hold on just a minute. Let's recheck the plans on this project. Let's look at the instructions. Let's see what we're supposed to do. And why did, in the ninth verse, why did David even have to ask that question? You know, these same guys are supposed to bear that ark with these staves through the golden rings. That's all. It's very simple. Half the times, the solutions to the things that I bring upon myself in my life, the explanation is so simple. It's there, and God has shown me that, and somehow I'm too dense to see that. Until sometimes it's too late, sometimes it's not. So you wouldn't remove. He carried inside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in that house for 3 months. So 3 months, it all stopped. So we're at a standstill here. I don't know why I think of government work with this. Everything just stopped right there. 3 months, it just sat there. But the reason David was afraid. So then in the 12th verse, things change here. He was told, King David, saying, "The Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God." God blessed that household there. Everything, so that's good. Look, okay, he's blessing it. God's blessing it. So let's, okay, slowly move into this. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. So he brought it up. It doesn't say in this verse, and there's no verse 12a that tells us, oh, and they had the guys bear it on the staves in the gold rings. But God's still pleased with this. So it's like someone must have gone, go get a book or something. Tell us how we're supposed to do it. And they did it. They did it. And it ends up well for David and the Israelites. And when they had gone, it was so. Now, here's our, in the 13th verse, here's our word that tells us they did it the right way. And it was so that when they bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. So they're bearing the ark. They're carrying it now. Don't you think they're, couldn't we have hit rewind right there, gone back? Well, why didn't you do the right thing in the first place and all? But why don't I? Same reason. I know David was a great king and all, apple of his eye, God's eye, and so forth, but he was a human being as well. David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. So things are looking good. Well, we had that before with the cornets, the trumpets, and they were celebrating and all. So we're back to the same spot. And we see, you know, it was the 3 months in that house. The ark sat there. So we know there were some delays here. We have lost one life at least, Uzzah. As the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, and so this is David's wife. Now, I actually, believe it or not, I do research the pronunciation of names. If you go, maybe you have looked up, and I'm going to call her Michal. I think of Michelle. I think, well, maybe that was the beginning of that. But when I go and look that up and research, and as much as we have at our fingertips to research, nobody knows how that's pronounced. Not even, you know, you think of Hebrew and all that. It's like they just say, here are the 3 to 5 pronunciations, and Michal was one of them. So you may have another one that you've studied. Saul's daughter looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. So Michal, his wife, despised her husband in her heart. Now, I have to smile a bit at that. You know, this is a husband and a wife. She's displeased with her husband. Who knew that could happen? Didn't mean to look at you, but anyway, because I'm thinking about myself. She despised him in her heart. That's pretty intense. But she's, and it could be, and we see, I think she's a bit embarrassed. Now, I've joked about this. You know, I can't dance. I don't have that kind of rhythm and so forth. And David's, he's dancing, and they're rejoicing and so forth. Before the Lord, that's the important thing. It's before the Lord. It's not for anyone else. But David has been relieved of the concern or potential embarrassment in serving God that he isn't, has now obeyed here. And now he is rejoicing in this. The Ark of the Covenant is back in the city of David here at this point. And that's not all with Michal here. She despised him in her heart. And they brought in the Ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. He blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. People departed, everyone to his house. David returned. Now, David goes home. David goes back to his house. I'm sure he could put in there probably, then David returned to bless his household, still rejoicing. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, if you think that sarcasm began, was defined and set up, like last year, no. Or maybe when you first had your first child and they begin to talk, oh, here's where sarcasm started. No, it's right here. Yeah, see, you're pointing to, don't point at anybody. So here it says he returned, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself. So she saw, how glorious was the king. She didn't mean that, to how glorious was the king. Now, she was embarrassed that he had done in front of the handmaids. So we have a little bit of jealousy in here. And David said unto Michal, it was before the Lord which chose me before thy father and before all his house, to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord. He would celebrate before him. He will rejoice before the Lord. He stood firm. That's what we should do. There are certain things that husbands and wives discuss, and there are many times that I say many, I guess my wife may say, well, define many, but that I have relinquished. Or I said, yep, that's right. You're correct in that. Those are hard words. But I maybe spent a half an hour before that trying to prove that I was right in that. Then finally relinquished that stand there. But David comes in. He stood firm on this. This was before the Lord. This was before the Lord that had anointed him through Samuel as king of Israel here, king of Jerusalem. He was rejoicing and he did this. Now, so he stood firm with this. He didn't back down. When we know for sure. And David had consulted. I tell you what, he learned a lesson when he saw Uzzah fall to the ground. I'm not doing something right. He was displeased with God, David was. But soon he came to his senses, and someone was bearing that ark as they should have all along. Maybe we have to make adjustments in serving God in the church, we need to look and see through the obedience to God and in reverence of Him. And yet, and I tell you, I don't want to simply be on the outside as I pray to God with some type of list, a wish list of stuff to Him, from feeling like I'm on the outside. I want to be in the very middle of His august presence. I feel my life is within that will of God, in serving Him, in as close to perfect obedience as I can. That's what, not because I want some type of result in that, except His close presence. But I know I'll fail again. But He'll come back. He hasn't left, and He won't leave. Let me finish this up. He said in this 21st verse, I will play before the Lord. He didn't back down. And I will yet be more vile than thus, and will be base in my own sight. And of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor. Then it says in the 23rd, last verse in this chapter, therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death. She died childless there. She never had a child. It doesn't say wherefore or because of this, this, and this. All you can do is read the context here. Now, in closing, 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Fifteenth chapter and the 22nd verse. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, he answers his own question. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. To obey. Immediately, I think. But to obey is to obey in the sacrifices of Israel to God in what He set up in the law service they're obeying. But we see His point there. We need to obey. It's like David was so bent on getting that ark back that somehow it just left him on how is this ark supposed to be treated, supposed to be carried, borne on the shoulders of not just anyone, but a certain group of men. It was to be carried. And it's like, oh, well, that doesn't matter. Let's just get it in there. Let's put it on this new cart. Obviously, it did matter. It mattered to God. That was something that happened at that point in time. Time means nothing to God. All I know is that God demands obedience. And God being the same today. Yes, He's just the same today. The song that we sing, He's just the same. This one that took the life, he smote Uzzah there, and he died right there. We've seen these things happen before, but when they did not obey God, but it's more important than just these sacrifices and burnt offerings, but in obeying the voice of the Lord is more important. It's better. But yet all of that, we should strive and live within His will and His presence, as those priests then would continue to go into the most holy place and offer the and drip that blood there and sprinkle that blood and perform those that sacrifice year after year, pointing to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Then I should want to live within that God's perfect will in my life. When I leave here, when I'm alone, when I think, well, this doesn't matter. It does matter to God, and we owe it to Him. And He does look down upon us. I tell you what, He watches us. He looks at us. Jesus Christ, His Son, died for us. He redeemed us. He shed the blood on the cross of Calvary that He might redeem a people that still make mistakes. And yet we'll see, as we see person after person after person die a natural death here and go on to be with the Lord. Yeah, I believe that God called those people at that very moment to be with Him, soul and spirit, to be in the presence of God, that Israel only experienced between those cherubims on the Ark of the Covenant. But we see the presence of God. Why would we not want to live within that presence, that wonderful, august presence of God Himself, when we're lifted up because He sacrificed Jesus Christ for us, why can't we be obedient to Him and inquire of the Lord before we fight our battles? Let's just do that. May God bless and keep you. Amen.